Okay, today on the show, we have Mr. Sharif Sami. Sharif is Senior Vice President Americas for Entersect, a digital identity and cybersecurity company coming out of South Africa. Sharif, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Lewis, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Sharif. I'll start where I always start, which is asking you a little bit about yourself and what brought you to the position you're currently in. I think it's fascinating for me and for our audience to find out what kind of career pathways executives take to find, you know, to end up where they're currently at. In particular to yourself, Sharif, I've noticed you've got a very international background, having worked across continents, spent time in the Netherlands, in the Emirates, I think in Australia perhaps as well. Do you mind spending a moment or two to tell our audience about what brought you to the position you're in today and the fantastic and fun career that FinTech has led you down?
Sure, absolutely. So I've been in the industry for almost 20 years now. I started off very much like most people in a sort of a technical track. I graduated from a computer science degree and really started looking at building sort of technology in specific industries, right? And that very quickly led me into the consultancy world, where I got introduced into the financial space and helped in Dubai to build the regulatory financial authority that regulates all the different financial entities in that world. And one thing led to another. I found myself then having to really deep dive into digital identities and national identities. And we built a big program to build a national identity scheme using smart cards. This was all probably more than 12 plus years ago. Using smart card technology at the time was very high tech, and build a interoperable national identity scheme in the GCC countries, which really got me started on the path to understand how organizations and the need for organizations to secure high sensitive transactions, right? Whether you're crossing the border or you're doing a payment transaction, your identity needs to be secured, your transaction needs to be secured, authenticated. And that's where cybersecurity played a role for me. I sort of looked at all sorts of different types of transactions for security and financial. The fintech space is very much where a lot of the need is. And that's where I've been playing over the last 10 plus years. And really where I specialize is take small organizations or incubate products and services and businesses and small organizations and build them into multi-million dollar companies. And Entersect is no different. It's a cybersecurity company at South Africa. And the task here really basically is to globalize Entersect, bring them into the Americas business. And that's what I run now for the last 2.5 years.
Love it. Great intro, Sharif. If you would spend a moment, because it's not immediately obvious to all of our listeners, why is digital identity so important to fintech and vice versa? Why are those two sectors separate but very much intertwined?
Actually, what you'll find at the moment is that both of these two sectors are actually converging now. At the end of the day, if you look at a payment transaction, it is basically a bank guaranteeing to the merchant that this consumer's identity is who they are, and that this consumer has funds in their account so that they could pay the merchant. That's what a typical payment transaction is, whether it's open loop or closed loop. So making sure that the consumer is who they say they are has always been a big challenge in any financial transactions that we're doing, or any transaction in general, right, that is sensitive in nature. And when you mirror that into the physical world, where you could show your driver's license or show a physical card, but we're doing a lot more transactions online. Actually, I think majority of the transactions that we're doing now are online transactions and digital assets that are being moved back and forth. So when you translate that, you can't show your card in the digital world, or you can't show your credential in the digital world. You have to prove who you are digitally. And that's where digital identity, device identity, authentication, and really securing those digital channels has become an integral part of any sensitive transaction over the years.
There's been a real boom in companies working in this space. What do you think accounts for this big rush in the market right now? Intersect has its own USPs, and we'll start to open them up in a minute. But there are many companies growing here right now around the world. Why is there such a demand on, and why is there a bit of a gold rush at the moment in digital identity?
Sure. So I'll broaden the conversation a little bit to look at digital identity, but also sort of the wider digital channel security or cybersecurity in that space. I think that's where a lot of the companies are playing in. The reason why you're seeing there's a big need in the market, right? The need is to make sure that you can secure those digital channels, that you could transact and innovate on top of those digital channels, and that you could make sure that the user experience is flawless for consumers, right? You've got challenger banks coming in and digital-only banks coming in that are challenging the status quo. You've got the guys like the Visas and the MasterCards and looking way beyond just the traditional payment mechanisms and looking into the digital space much more strongly. You're also hit in over the last years with a change in the behavior for cybersecurity and hackers to harness the data that consumers have. And you're harnessing basically their digital identity data. So when you combine everything together and hackers taking our data to commit fraud in a much more stronger sense, and organizations having the need to innovate, then it creates a catalyst for a market that is looking for innovation. And we're very happy to be part of that and happy to innovate and advance this market.
Introducing your one-stop shop to the Anglo-Dutch market. On the 20th of February, the British Embassy in The Hague will organise its biggest cyber and fintech bilateral trade event ever, the Cyber Fintech Summit 2020. Join them for an exciting programme of leading officials, investors and companies. Meet over 70 exciting startups and network with up to 1,000 attending movers and shakers in the sector. Don't let this opportunity pass you by and sign up for free before the end of January at uktech.nl/CFS2020. That's uktech.nl/CFS2020.
Just how serious a problem is smaller fraud or individual fraud at the moment? We hear in the news that the big stories, the Equifaxes, the big breaches like this. How about the regular Joe being defrauded? Is that still a major problem?
I think it's a major problem, and it's always going to be a major problem. The reason why we're hearing about large-scale data breaches is because that is what the newsworthy stuff is, right? Millions of consumers' data has being compromised, and it happens on a regular basis. It's not one organization or another. It is basically the new way that criminals are stealing assets, right? Breaking their digital walls versus breaking the bank's physical walls. Right. And if you look at it from a day-to-day, what impacts the individual consumer, right, it is it's sort of a combination of two things, right? Consumers want convenience and they want the least level of friction possible. At the same time, demanding from banks to innovate and protect their security. And they have a right to demand all of that, right? And part of that is in banks introducing omni-channel capabilities, right? The ability for organizations for consumers to reach the bank in whatever medium possible, whether it's a call center, whether it's an online channel, a mobile channel, a physical channel. This omni-channel experience is introducing opportunities for bank to innovate, but it's also introducing opportunities for hacker to penetrate to different lines of defenses and use the different channels that the bank has to either trick the consumer and do an account takeover. They call the call center and they call the consumer as if they're the call center and trick them into giving their credentials and then using other channels to fraud, or they leverage that to attack the bank in different ways. So it's happening on a regular basis. Plus the data that's coming out there is causing things like synthetic identity fraud, and other forms of fraud that is fairly becoming more prevalent in our market as well.
Synthetic identity fraud. There's a buzz term that I've been hearing more and more of in the last 1 or 2 years. Can you just quickly define for us what that is and why it's a growing problem?
Sure. So it's probably more familiar for consumers and cybersecurity experts here in the US, but synthetic identity fraud, the idea behind it is that a fraudster can take a subset of information that is they find on the dark web that is legitimate information, and they complement that information with non-legitimate information, for example, a real social security number with a fake address. And they use that to do a transaction. That transaction could be requesting for a credit card, right? And because the databases in the US, as an example, which holds all the identities for consumers, are very, very fragmented ecosystem. There's many different organizations, private and public, that hold consumer information. So it makes the validation of everything more complicated, and it does, and fraudsters are able sometimes successful to, for example, ask for a loan and get granted a loan. And if when these fraudsters do it, then what immediately happens is a credit file gets put in their name or in the fake synthetic name that they identity that they've used, and then they're able to then build credit score, build credit, and leverage that as if they are a legitimate normal consumer, right? So really building a synthetic identity that is used for fraud in the future that is not linked to a real individual.
So devious. And it's not just fly by the night, you know, some guy in his basement doing this, though it can be as well. These are often quite serious operations. There are teams of people working around the clock to perform this kind of fraud.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the new currency is basically digital currencies, right? And digital assets are becoming more prevailing. The same thing used to happen in the past, just in the physical world, because the assets were more expensive in the physical world. In a data economy, that we should be expecting more and more data compromises and using this data to trick and fraud the system. Now, that is why companies like us exist, to really help organizations and consumers transact and do sensitive transactions in a secure manner. And there's technology out there that enables it. There's technology out there when you combine different solutions, then banks can also be two steps ahead of their competition, which are hackers in this case.
Hey, this is Jonathan from Block Data. FYI, 40% of big companies will invest at least $5 million into blockchain initiatives this year. Block Data helps these companies understand what's going on through market intelligence on the blockchain ecosystem. If you'd like to find out more, just Google Block Data.
Yes, this is a good moment to alight on Entersect. You've spoken about some problems. Some of these are quite scary issues. How are companies like Entersect? No, better yet, how is Entersect in particular dealing with these problems? Please tell us about what exactly Entersect's products and services do.
Sure. So the way I always like to explain it, right, I mean, we look at ourselves as a company that helps facilitate secure commerce between consumers and organizations. And our sweet spot, and we've always been focused on the financial industry and the healthcare industry, because those are the two industries where there's been the most need, but you could broaden that scale beyond that. At the end of the day, a consumer wants to do a sensitive transaction, whether they're transferring money or asking for a loan or doing something. In the digital space, Entersect basically has underlying technology to help protect those transactions. And what that typically means, right, organizations, when they want to deal with consumers and offer them services, they have two stages. Stage number one we call origination, which is I need to identify who you are as a person, right? And I need to make sure you're you. And then when I've done that, I then can offer you services and provide you services in the digital space, right? Entersect typically gets involved in that second level, right? Where we help organizations with technology in their digital channels that once you've identified the consumers, you could transact securely with consumers. Now, how do you do that, right? We're a certificate-based organization. We've built a platform a digital platform that lives inside, for example, a bank, lives inside their digital channels, whether that is a call center, whether that is an online channel, their website, for example, think of the bank's banking website, or their mobile channel, think of a bank's mobile app. We've got technology that lives inside, software that lives inside those channels that helps the bank with a number of things. One, it helps the bank authenticate the consumer and builds a trusted relationship between that consumer's device and the bank's backend system, so you could send and transmit secure information, right? It helps the bank complement the digital identity profile of a consumer with the digital identity of their device. So we give them a strong, trusted device that they could use to say, okay, this is Lewis, and this is his identity, and this is the identity of his device, and it's always coupled together so that you build a strong relationship with the two. In most cases, you're always going to have your mobile device in your hand. You're always going to be transacting from your trusted laptop. So we build those trusted profiles for consumers, and then we help secure the communication channel. So what does that mean is, think of a consumer entering into the mobile banking app, authenticating with, for example, biometrics, and then Intersect taking over and saying, okay, I'm going to open a separate communication channel between the mobile banking app, as an example, and the bank's behind the bank's firewall, and enable the bank to transfer any type of information or enable the consumer to consent to services. And that brings things also like privacy. So providing the consumer the ability to consent to share information, or to consent to the revocation of information, or to consent to paying a transaction, or transferring money. All of these things Intersect's underlying technology enables.
That's a really clear description of quite a technically complicated area, the ability for the bank to trust the consumer's device. What happens, or what kind of red flag is raised if, let's say, I wish to take out a loan? I would typically use my handheld mobile, but for whatever reason today, I'm using a friend's laptop. Presumably, some sort of alert goes up then. What is the process for spotting potential fraud like that, and then giving it the green light when you realize it is, in fact, a legitimate person? He or she just happens to be using an unusual device.
I mean, these cases always happen, and they are cases we need to cater for. Consumers typically are going to have their personal devices, and the idea is that these personal devices are bound to their identity, for example, in the bank's environment. So the bank knows that if Sharif is using this device that is Intersect, for example, tells the bank that this is their trusted device, that this is the reputation of the device, that we know all about this device, then it gives a different risk profile to that specific transaction, right? It may make it easier or less prone to friction there. But if a consumer is going, for example, on a foreign device and using the online channel, for example, of the bank, the bank knows that that web browser or that device is not trusted. So the fraud systems then know to handle the transaction in a different way. Maybe do an additional step up, ask the consumer something that enables them to do an extra step of validation and verification. So there's different ways managing that and managing the risk profile of a specific transaction. But we have to cater for all of these scenarios, and consumers will be using devices that don't belong to them. It's just telling the bank that, informing them, and using that as a higher risk signal for additional measures.
It's a very nice and quick insight into the cutting edge of digital identity. Maybe, Sharif, with your and a long background in this space, you can help us look forward to the next 1 or 2 years. What do you see some of the next generation types of products and services to come out of companies like Intersect? Maybe there's something Intersect is working on to be revealed at a later date you could give us a sneak peek on? If we were having this conversation this time next year, what kinds of products would we be talking about?
So our philosophy as a company is, and this is how we've always started and evolved through the years, right? First step we did in the market is help organizations, help financial institutions, as an example, around the world to secure the digital channel, i.e. to make sure that the devices that the consumer is using are trusted devices, that the communication channel that the consumer is using with the bank is a trusted communication channel. That's why we open separate communication channel. Think of a separate VPN tunnel, for as an example, like tunnel between the bank's device, the banking app and the consumer that doesn't go through the standard internet channel, right? Trust the device, trust the channel, and ensure the integrity of that relationship has not been compromised, i.e. there is no man in the middle attack, there is no account takeover attack, there is no phishing attacks that are happening that are that could compromise that relationship. That's step number one, and we've done that successfully around the world. We're in 45 countries around the world, and we've deployed our digital device identity authentication solution in those 45 countries, and we've been fairly successful. Step number two for us has been, okay, now that we could trust the device and trust the channel, how could we enable banks and organizations to innovate on top of digital channels? And that's really what a lot of our focus is at the moment, is to help the organizations really find different ways of innovating, different ways of offering services. Payments, for example, is also changing, and it's if you talk last year, it's changing this year. I mean, payments has been going through revolutions year on year for the last 5+ years. But what we're going to start seeing this year and beyond, and we've seen it in different parts around the world, is the introduction of things called like faster payments or real-time payments or more peer-to-peer type of payments. And they bring, and that's the ability to really do transactions and for organizations to exchange money in real time or in near real time. And that will bring an additional set of security and cybersecurity and digital channel challenges, which we are working on addressing. On the other hand, it brings opportunity for enabling different commerce transactions. And that's why we've built and launched, for example, 3D Secure, which is card-not-present payments. We've built technology and certified that technology so that we enable banks to do, for example, and merchants to do card-not-present transactions as well, online payment transactions. So when you put all these things together, it enables really a holistic experience for consumers and banks to pay, but also to transact and do banking in the digital world.
The PCN podcast is brought to you by Payvision. When it comes to payments, Payvision don't mess around. They live and breathe payment processing, from design and integration to delivery and checkout, and everything in between. The dedication to their products shows. That's why they're so happy to support merchants with exactly the kind of payment solutions they're looking for.
It is an exciting time. Here in the Netherlands, where I am today, we can make real-time payments pretty much instantaneously, bank to bank, up to a limit. I think the limit might be kind of less than 600 or 700 euros, but you can do it pretty much any Netherlands bank to any other Netherlands bank. I think even on weekends, it's pretty much unlimited, and we kind of all take it for granted now. I'm not sure as to the historic reasons why some of the European countries were able to get that infrastructure up and running a bit faster, but I know the US is in hot pursuit. What are some of the unique kind of fraud and ID problems that come with real-time banking?
Their synthetic identity becomes a and has historically been a big challenge when you're doing things instantaneously, because at the end of the day, you're building a B2B relationship as well, right, between organizations where they could exchange money fast. We've seen, for example, you build a synthetic identity, which then creates a merchant relationship. It tricks a consumer to buy a product, and then those products are never shipped. but you're just paying with a peer-to-peer transaction. The challenge with real-time payments, and I think this is something that, for example, here in the US, we're not used to very much, is that, for example, a Zelle transaction or a PayPal transaction a lot of the peer-to-peer transactions are irrevocable transactions, which means once the money is gone, you cannot revoke it. Where we are used to, for example, in the US, credit card transactions, the consumer is never liable. They could always get their money back if, for example, a merchant tricks them, or if they don't like the product or whatever, they could just call their bank and they have instant refunding of their money. And that has slowed down a little bit the adoption of things like a mass deployment of peer-to-peer payments. That's changed over the last couple of years with the introduction of Zelle and other schemes that have come in our market. Plus the fact, I mean, if you look at the Netherlands, and I had the privilege of living there and for a number of years and working there, it's a much more smaller economy, much more smaller number of banks. You've got, I think, 6,000 banks here in the US, an entire huge ecosystem that needs to reinvent its sort of core banking infrastructure, which is a big thing that's happening now, to enable the faster payments transactions to go through. And when you're opening the hood of a large number of banks and legacy systems and changing a lot of that, it's much more complicated and it takes a lot more time than when you're doing it in sort of smaller pockets around the world. And the last few years, we've introduced EMV in the US, and we're looking at contactless payments and all sorts of different types of invisible payments. So there's been a lot of innovation happening in our market as well.
Big time. I'm going to turn to a slightly different but related area. I just read in the news today that I think it was Visa acquiring Plaid for over $5 billion, was it?
Yes.
There's obviously a big rush on for these big processors and big card schemes to buy up these smaller fintech success stories. I imagine a similar thing's going to be afoot when it comes to the digital identity and cybersecurity space. Could you give us any predictions for how you see M&M in your part of the market over the next 12 to 24 months? Do you see a consolidation, or do you think it will continue with this big explosion of digital ID companies, or how might it pan out?
I mean, it's already happening a lot in our market. If you look, large organizations are buying up smaller companies. I think a good example of that is MasterCard. It acquired two or three companies that and built out and have just launched before the holidays. They've just launched their digital identity initiative as MasterCard. TransUnion has done the same thing. A lot of organizations are building out what they are referring to as their enterprise identity platforms and schemes, which they're aiming for organizations to leverage them as sort of a one-stop shop for digital identity and authentication services. So it's been happening over the last few years. What's fascinating about things like Visa and Plaid and things like Fiserv and FIS and First Data Acquisitions and TSYS and Global Payments and the large processors acquiring large other issuer processors and acquiring processors is it's opening up. It's basically showing that these players are looking to get the two-sided market much more stronger, right? If you look at FIS and Worldpay, FIS is very strong on the issuing side. Worldpay is very strong on the merchant side. When you combine them together, it becomes one company that's owning basically the two-sided market. Same thing with Fiserv and First Data and so on. And that enables them to look at, okay, how do they offer on us services and how do they offer services that compete with the Visas and the MasterCards of the space and so on. And Visa acquiring companies that are enabling, that are giving them more access to the consumer's bank accounts through the technologies like that, access to sort of bank account information versus just payment information. So it's very fascinating how all of these acquisitions are happening. And in the digital identity space, it is no different, and acquisitions are continuously happening. So that's why I'm sort of saying that both of the payments and the financial space, financial transactions and digital identity, sort of that line is blurring. And it's fascinating to see in the future how it will pan out.
It is. And Intersect is in a wonderful position regarding all of this. I just read the company opened its 9th office, is it, in the Stellenbosch region of the Western Cape, an absolutely gorgeous part of the world. If you haven't been there yet, I imagine you're a lucky man, Sharif. You probably get to do a few business trips there a few times a year, some of the best vineyards on the planet. Tell us a bit about Intersect's growth over the next 1 year. The company seems to be doing very well, 9 offices globally now. What's around the corner for the company?
Sure. So yeah, indeed. I mean, our focus is on a couple of things now. Our focus is we've managed successfully in 45 countries to deploy our technology to a large number of banks around the world, right? And a lot of what we are looking to do now is not only to give them the bare technology to secure their platforms, is like I said before, help them through our innovation and our platforms to really offer innovative offerings for consumers on those digital channels. If I could secure it, and I could send more sensitive information on it, then I could offer more advanced services and onboard consumers to really interesting services. And that's where we are working a lot with our existing customers around the world to really innovate on top of digital channels, right? The second part of what we're looking to do is really expand our reach geographically and globally. And that's why we're looking at a lot of the sort of different markets around the world, because the problems are more or less the same, right? Securing digital channels and protecting consumer devices is really a core sort of problem that every place around the world is looking to solve. And we are happy to be part of the journey and happy to help those organizations and those markets grow. So yeah, I mean, it's an exciting time for us. South Africa indeed is gorgeous, and we are in the Napa Valley, Stellenbosch of area of South Africa, which is beautiful. And yeah, I mean, we're looking at things like privacy, for example, and customer consent, and other areas that really help consumers and organizations secure their digital channels.
Great space to be in, Sharif. Where can potential customers, partners, candidates, where should they be reaching out to find more?
I mean, reach out to me directly. We've got a big team around the world, and our website is intersect.com. So there's, if you need to reach us, you'll find us, and looking forward to really speaking to everybody this year.
Okay, fantastic. Sharif Sami, thank you very much for being on the show. Payments and Cards Network wishes you a fantastic 2020. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
The Payments and Cards Network podcast is brought to you by our friends and sponsors, Payvision. Payvision, when it comes to payments, they don't mess around. They live and breathe payments processing, from design and integration to delivery and checkout and everything in between. Check out payvision.com. We are also brought to you by Block Data. Block Data is an Amsterdam-based cryptocurrency research firm. They help investors get involved in the world of cryptocurrency safely and securely. Check out blockdata.tech for more information about them. Thanks for joining today's show. We'll see you again next time.